Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio.
A cup of coffee might just be one of the greatest sayings. Like, let me get a cup of coffee. You know what I mean?
Jump start. Jump start to whatever the fuck you about to do.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yo, black men don't cheat, though.
Black men don't cheat.
Black men don't cheat, though. I love it. I just want people to know that black men don't cheat, the hashtag black men don't cheat, which has been commemorated with a day, I think was last week, National Black Men Don't Cheat Day, celebrated by a song by Charlamagne Tha God and Lil Duval. I think it's an important distinction to let people know black men don't cheat isn't a declaration of something that we've never done before. Of course, black men have cheated.
Yes.
I mean, ask my father. I mean, he's not listening, but you know.
That's a whole episode.
Woo, Lord.
So that's a whole series.
Three wives, one mistress. It's kind of crazy. Why you just married? Anyway, it's not that. It's black men don't cheat. It's really a shift in tone and a shift in perspective. A time for us to stand up and say what we will allow and not allow to be a part of black manhood. And cheating on your beautiful black queen, it ain't it no more.
It's not a good look.
That's not a good look, bro.
It's never been a good look.
It's never been a good look, but now black men don't cheat.
Now that everybody's looking and can see, it's definitely not a good look.
Do you have your membership cards for the Faithful Black Men Association?
Yes. Now, I'm not saying I've always been I paid my dues my entire lifetime. I've definitely cheated. So.
Yo, Mac!
But, you know, today.
My subscription definitely expired a couple times. I had a couple gap months.
I'm proud to say I'm in the clear right now.
Yeah. I mean, I'm also not a engaged black man at the moment either. God bless the summer.
Got to pick your battles.
You got to. Yo, shut up.
Got to pick your battles, man.
Yo, but welcome to Over the Shoulder. We right back here, Over the Shoulder podcast. This is your chance to eavesdrop on two professional creatives as we discuss the sources, happenings, and inspirations from the creative industry, from film to production to music to culture. Join us each week as we push the envelope and the possibilities of the creative industries. Our host this week, of course, is your boy, B-Mo Brown, back at it again. And back in the studio, my main man, 200,000 grand.
What's up, family? Hey, yo, it's Matt. A.K.A. Mr. Backpack, A.K.A. Mr. SBO, the silent partner.
Oh!
I'm good.
That's what's up. Of course, we're coming to you live from the lobby of the Line Hotel. It's coming through on Full Service Radio. What's popping? Got my girl Alexia in the booth. What's good?
Place, man, the lights hit a little different, man. This is beautiful, man.
I love it, man. I love it. We got somebody training in the booth, too, now.
Facts.
Yeah. Get your train on. Get your Mr. Miyagi on, Alexia. I see you.
You're putting in the hours. That's important.
All right, let's get to the word of
the day.
The word of the day, brought to you by Dictionary.com's wonderful app. They're gonna throw us some bread one of these days.
Absolutely.
Oh man.
You know what? I think after this week, we should switch over to UrbanDictionary.com. Unless you want to do that shit right now.
Hold on. I wasn't prepared for that.
So since I've been gone, I've had some ideas.
You had some ideas?
Like, you know, we keep giving money to the white man.
Okay, go ahead.
So, you know what I'm saying?
Keep talking while I pull up the
Urban Dictionary. Urban Dictionary is owned by white people as well, then that'd be hilarious.
Is Urban Dictionary owned by white folks, Alexia?
I'm pretty sure.
Well, let's just go back.
One day at a time.
Is there a black dictionary?
Yeah, I'm sure there is. Well, we had
an encyclopedia.
Linguistic styles.
That's true.
You know?
Anyway, the word of the day, brought to you by dictionary.com, is a verb, shog.
Shog.
S-H-O-G. Shog.
Shog.
To jog along. While you've been gone, brother, I've been shogging the show. All right, just been trying to keep it up. You know what I mean? I'm so glad you're back in the studio.
Hey, man, you know what I'm saying? Black men don't cheat. Sometimes
black men
it's
don't
better
cheat.
To shog alone.
Hey, that's shog alone.
Wow.
Yo, speaking of black men don't
powerful
cheat, Alexia,
shit,
if you don't mind pulling up White Lies, we about to play this song, this wonderful anthem brought to you by the wonderful Sunshine Queen, Miss Taylor out of New York. Make sure y'all follow her on all social media platforms at Stay Sunny Tay. She's got a message to all the black boys who are out here cheating. It's called White Lies. We'll be right back with Over the Shoulder.
These next two songs, we just chilling out, just vibing.
Y'all just listening to, you know, I'm just staying. Y'all staying with me, so I'm staying with y'all. You know, you need. So this next song is called White Lies. It's basically, nigga, I know you lying. Like, you ain't got to tell me. Like, I know that you're lying. So it's basically, keep your white lies to yourself. You're digging yourself in a deeper hole, boy. Just let it go, let it go. No need to hold on to him, girl. He's a losing girl. Let it go, let it go. Telling those white lies. Addicted to the fast life. Let it go, let it go. Commitment, you're scared of. Addicted to the fake love. Easy, fuck your time's up. Oh, I'm a rowdy one, beware. The rowdy one is here. Kicking flavor in your ear. Now, now, now. Watch the queen as she appears. Now, now. Hurt people, hurt people. That's why you hurt people. Now, what you asking me for? Telling your white lies to compromise your high, high, high. Put on your disguise, high, high, as your lies bribe my naivety. You cling to me, sucking, sucking. My energy is clear to see. I don't mean to be rude, but I don't like what you do when you do. I say I don't mean to be rude. Can't stand the fuck shit that you do. So go, go. Digging yourself in a deeper hole. Boy, let it go, let it go. Telling those white lies. Save, save, save all those white lies. Shit sexy, y'all. This band, these boys ain't playing behind me. You feel me? All right.
That was White Lies by the incomparable Miss Taylor. Make sure y'all follow her on all social media platforms. That's an unreleased track, so make sure you tune in every week to exclusive joint. Over the shoulder, we do exclusive joints. Got the clearance from Taylor this morning.
I like that.
She about to release this Unneutral. We recorded that joint in a speakeasy in a back bar somewhere here in
you
D.C.
You got that feel. Sometimes you need that.
Yeah, I feel like her own calling
live
Tyrone.
Live at the whatever.
Yeah.
Live at the blank. You live always at know the joint.
So, man, if you don't mind, bro, I'm about to go a little too deep, man.
All right, I'm going to step back.
Here we go. Here we go. So, as a content creator, I find it pivotal to constantly investigate that which inspires, confounds, and disrupts creativity. Each week, I'm going to explore one creative concept, deconstruct it to its creative atoms, and analyze its foundations in hopes of expanding the discovery of the creative process. This week, I rewatched The Cosby Show in the post-Bill Cosby era. Now, just hear me out. Why? I really don't know, right? Actually, his weird tweet about being America's dad and sending out a message to all the fathers on Father's Day, that actually popped off on Twitter when I was in the middle of the sixth season. So it wasn't a reaction to that. I was really just scrolling on Amazon Prime and I saw The Cosby Show was there. And I thought to myself, I wonder if this hits different now. Used to be a huge fan of Bill Cosby before all the allegations came to fruition. And so I watched all 8 seasons of the show. And of course, because we're going too deep, I had some very interesting observations, right? And the elephant in the room, yes, Bill Cosby is in jail for sexual assault. So of course, we're going to keep that in the forefront of the conversation. And this conversation is not a condoning of his behavior. I actually think that shit is quite sick. But how does watching the Cosby Show now hit after all the allegations have seemed to be true? So when I was first watching the show, which was in college, there was a debate amongst the black intellectuals in the mid-80s and the early 90s about the validity of the greatness of The Cosby Show. And the conversation boiled down to a debate between, should the show be celebrated for being aspirational or condemned because it does not follow the terms of reality at the time? The reality at the time, in 1984, there weren't too many two-house, two parent households with multiple kids, both in professional settings. And the Bill Cosby or the Cosby Show illuminated a family that was headed by a father, which was a doctor, and headed by a mother, which was a lawyer. Now, I find it interesting that the debate of reality versus aspirational is null and void on both sides. On the reality side, we have since seen that two family black households with professional heads of the household is not only not rare, it's actually common. We look out into Bowie, into PG. If you go out to the Chick-fil-A in PG, that's all you see is rich black people. You know what I mean? We also had the privilege of serving under a president who was a lawyer and his wife who was a lawyer. They were both black as well. So the argument that the Cosbys could not be real is not valid anymore. And so I would challenge those who make that debate. On the other side, which I find to be equally interesting, the aspirations of Bill Cosby are actually the foundation of the positivity, quote unquote positivity, of the show. And now that we find that the person who created the aspiration was actually a creepy ass nigga, do we even value those aspirations anymore? And the answer is kind of like no. So now the argument of reality versus the aspirational version of the Cosby Show, to me, is just like, we don't even need to have that conversation anymore. So once we discount that, the biggest thing that popped up into my mind was the queen, the goddess, Felicia Rashad. And so here's something that popped into my head, right? The show started in 1984. Your boy, me, I was born in 1989. My mother was 26 when she had me. Her favorite show at the time was The Cosby Show. I always was very curious at why my mother acted like Felicia Rashad. And when I was watching the show now as a 30-year-old man, I was like, oh, shit, this is where she learned her social script on how to be a black mother. Of course, there were influences from my grandmother because, you know, that was her mama. But at the same time, some of the sayings, some of the attitudes, some of the attributes, I promise you not, there are six art pieces that were in my house growing up that are in the background of The Cosby Show. That's how deep and how impactful the show was culturally. Mm-hmm. It was able to develop a script for black mothers. So when you watch the show now, you see Felicia Rashad, that shit is like genius.
My mom had two of them.
Right. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Another observation that I noticed. So we look at the story of Lisa Bonet, Denise Huxtable on the show. And if you follow the relationship of Denise and Bill Cosby, Lisa Bonet and Bill Cosby, you start to see that the show, like his career, begins to descend into like averageness once he becomes too arrogant. And that same arrogance is also the same thing that pushed Lisa Bonet away from the show. Fun fact, Lisa Bonet was basically fired from The Cosby Show because she got pregnant.
Okay.
And she did a nude scene in the
nude
movie.
Scene. I remember
right?
that part.
And so Bill Cosby didn't think that was an image that would be suitable enough for him to have somebody represent black America. Like, who the fuck are you, Bill
Cosby?
Young
mother. Right.
Yeah. Like, who the fuck are you? You make the same leeway when Felicia Rashad was pregnant, but of course she was married, she was a little bit older, and to him, old black America, that's acceptable. Mm-hmm. But young Lisa Bonet, 22, 23 years old, it's not cool for him. He basically removes her from the show. That should have been like, to America, that should have been like, oh, wait a minute, hold on, what you talking about, Bill? Right? But some other things I noticed about the show for a show in 1984 is extremely feminist, like almost like blaringly so. They're challenging gender roles that make me kind of shift in my chair like, oh, that's really progressive, and it's 2019 and they were making these statements in 1984. Overall, what I'm trying to say, man, I watched The Cosby Show, and for those who feel like they can or should be able to do that, I encourage you to watch it again. And you'll notice if you just remove Bill Cosby away from the situation, you'll notice a great cast of black actors and a great outlet for the introduction and for the explanation of black culture, especially for the middle to the upper class of black society. So I watched the Bill Cosby Show, and honestly, I don't got to watch it again. Mm. And that's BMO Goes Too Deep. If you can't find it, go ahead and dig for it.
That's real. You know, just kind of taking in everything that you said, one thing that stuck out was like, all right, is what was represented even valid anymore, because what it was founded on wasn't real. Like
right.
Cosby,
right.
and these like idioms and ideals that he broadcasted through a show, like, you know, were not being executed by the same person. Like, he wasn't doing what he was telling. He wasn't living up to what he was putting out, the energy out there. I think that's a very general way to say it. But I also think it's interesting, like, I don't think our family structures are not like that today because of Bill Cosby. I think Bill Cosby represents a lot of what I put on Generation X and Baby Boomers, which is the false sense of the Black American household in the first place. Like, that was never, when was the last time that we had like a homogenous group of Black people really living like that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, after the, you know, I don't know. It just feels like none of that stuff was real in the first place, and it wasn't just Bill Cosby who put that false sense up, but it was just a lot of people in that same generation as an advocate. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very, I didn't even know that argument existed until I got to college, that people looked at it as almost condemning the aspirational aspect of trying to create a Black household or even a household in that same mold. I didn't even recognize that would be detrimental, but in a way it was.
Right.
It does condemn, you know, mixed families. I know a lot of Black families that are mixed families. You got daughters from the daddy, son from the mom. They get together, we get it popping.
Like, it perpetuated this thing, that's this cancer that's been throughout our community, which is like, if it's not like a traditional family, then it's invalid.
Yeah.
It's like, it's marked. You know what I mean? So, yeah,
we're not fucking with it no more.
I'm not fucking with it, you know, because that's not even what that's I true. See today. You know
right.
I mean? Just,
right.
There's nothing wrong with that either.
So. Yeah. All right, man. You got something in the bag, bro?
Yeah, I got a few things in the bag.
Here we go.
I don't have anything pre-written.
Hey.
You know, I've been... Hold on. All right, okay. That's the right. Ooh, that's the right one. I'm sorry, man. It's been 2 weeks. I'm off my game with the zippers, bro.
You missed.
I really apologize.
It's
for
all
that.
Good.
All right, yeah. So, I've been away from the show. A lot of travel, a lot of work. I'm sorry, but it feels good to be back. But over that two-week span, I've been doing a lot of... video consumption on multiple platforms, as always. So, you know, normally I do my YouTube binge, but it's I think I've reached the impossible. Like, there's nothing on YouTube that really interests me anymore right now. I think
really, yeah, okay.
I've dived down the rabbit holes of hour long tutorials with Indian accents. I've maxed out on that. I've done battle rap. I binged on that. You know, that's my thing. Yeah. NBA, all the NBA news. We'll talk about that after the in the bag. So countless of autoplay of just like Shannon and Skip, First Take, da da da.
Yeah.
I'm through with it. So I was like, let me get back in my Netflix bag.
Uh-huh.
And I rekindled my love for documentaries. So I just a couple recommendations I want to put out there for people who are really interested in like the music industry and the creative realm, and especially timepieces. First off, I say the Rolling Thunder review documentary on Bob Dylan.
Okay.
That's actually directed by Martin Scorsese.
Oh, wow.
Which, you know, talk details kind of his Rolling Thunder tour that he did through like small cities throughout the U.S. from like the Bay all the way out to Boston. These was like dope. During the era where Boston was really like down in the dumps financially, like, you know, just the country in general, like during the bicentennial. And so he talks about like, all right, what were the tour managers like back then? You know, what were the creatives like behind the scenes?
And
the robust B-roll and footage, and not just the performances. You know, it's a lot of parallels that I won't point out myself, but I'll just say as a creative, you should definitely check it out. And it gave me a brand new found appreciation for Bob Dylan. Like, I've heard his songs from time to time, but to really see a creative commanding his vision or her vision or their vision, you know, and people really following them because they buy into that vision, and seeing what it can turn into even back then, is a great watch.
That's what's up.
Second recommendation is The Black Godfather, which is also on Netflix, and it talks about the life so far, because he's still with us, but Mr. Clarence Avant. And Clarence Avant, and I'm going to read this from Billboard, just a quick blurb, just to sum up what he's done. You know, from a high school dropout to artist manager, to label executive, to radio broadcaster, to music publisher, to powerhouse negotiator, social activist, and philanthropist, and Hollywood Walk of Fame inductee. And most people don't know this man's name, even amongst Black people, because he was that, or what they coined as the original influencer, that man that was really behind the scenes making deals, leveraging relationships, you know, putting goodwill out there. And it got him so far. Somebody who didn't even attain a high school diploma or a college degree, You know, especially in that era, you know, from the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and to be a player in the game, but not, you know, a celebrity in front of the camera.
Right.
And to wield that power. Wow. I mean, that's I'm talking about helping Jackie Robinson and certain, you know, black baseball players back then get major deals with major companies.
Really?
For endorsements. And yes, and, you know, being the best friend of Quincy Jones and, you know, you know what I mean? And helping to put together and help fund Soul Train and, you know, just so many different.
Oh, I got to watch this, man.
Yes.
That sounds like
these
me.
These two documentaries, I'm pretty much talking to you.
Yeah,
you
that's fine. I mean? Yeah. So watch the Bob Dylan joint.
Right. The Bob Dylan joint, you got to watch that. You got to watch The Black Godfather.
Okay.
Both are great in their own respects for different
that's
reasons.
That's tonight's study creative, session.
Yeah. Others might not understand it, so you might have to watch that shit alone. So
hey, look, that's fine.
Yeah. That's what we do anyway. And last piece, you know, like I said, they said Clarence Avant, or they coined him the term like original influencer. And I know we talk about influencers all the time, but I wanted to kind of talk about this article that I saw from Entrepreneur Magazine a couple weeks ago, but I wasn't able to share it because I was gone. So it talks about influencer fraud. So we go from back then where it was the original influencer. You really had real relationships. You really had engagement. You could leverage that on a more tangible level. But today we talk about it all the time. There's inflated numbers. People are buying followers. There are influencer groups that are like liking each other's shit to like spike up numbers, and it's all just data manipulation.
Interesting.
And you know, entrepreneur.com said that that has cost, I think they said it's cost companies like $1 to $5 to $10 billion by 2020. It's gonna
what
just because of this fraudulent engagement and stuff like that. So now you know, companies are starting to develop to fight this in the tech world. So there's a product called Likewise, which uses machine learning and artificial intelligence, or, you know, you could just say like, you know, high data crunching stuff to comb through influencers' profiles and to detect discrepancies in engagement. So, you know, people really calling out the bullshit. It's not even people anymore. It's just algorithms.
Right.
And so it's interesting to see like the battle that happens. Right. Like, you know, people try to take advantage of a system and therefore, you know, more companies come in to fight that off. So I wanted to wrap that up, but also ask, like, what are the ramifications once we start putting in systems like this that, you know, even the playing field, but, you know, are there any negative ramifications to that as well? Like,
well, I think it's actually a really good point. I didn't know that it was costing them like $5 to $10 billion.
By 2020, it's going to, you know, investing in influencers on IG to brand, you know, or market your products is going to lose you $5 to $10 billion.
Goodness gracious.
As an industry or as an aggregate by 2020, by next year.
Well, hopefully.
Because we talked about how, like, you know, companies like Facebook and Instagram and Twitter are going to actually potentially take away the like counts and,
right,
you know, at least from public view.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, if you're still an influencer, regardless of who sees your number or not, with the numbers that's most important is your overall engagement. You'll still be able to see your stats, but nobody else will. So, you know, if your stats are fake.
Wow. Ooh, that's actually a great question. That's actually a great question. Cause you get rid of the influencer and you have to go back to traditional marketing.
Right.
Or traditional advertising on social media. And I wonder, because I don't know, I wonder what's the effectiveness of that.
Are there any more influencers?
Yeah. Do we need, like, I'm thinking of my homegirl specifically. She is an influencer per se, and she does ad work for like Territory Foods and Lululemon and all this shit, right?
Oh, that's tight.
But I'm wondering, like, are people really buying based on her Instagram or her social media influence, or are they just seeing?
Right. Or if they're buying, are they buying because they fuck with her on an actual, like, friend level? You know what I'm saying? I've always wondered that. Like,
do people really buy?
But what is I think it's like a numbers thing. I don't know.
I would have to see, do people really buy products from Instagram?
I don't think those people really exist in our community. Like, actually just see something dope and want to buy it, click the...
Yeah.
I'm sure they do. Like,
name two people.
I don't know. Like, I see. Okay, so I see, like, with Shopify. Okay, so nerding out a little bit. So Shopify has this integration with Instagram. And I think there's other platforms, too, where now you can, you know, instead of just, you could put up a photo on Instagram. You can hit, you'll see this little dot on the picture. Hit the dot, and then, you know, it'll pop up, like, a price.
Right.
Or, like, an actual listing where you can purchase that. I think that's pretty cool. I just, we just haven't figured out how to properly market that shit yet.
So is that up to the influencers to try to figure that out, or is that more?
Well, let me. I think this leads to another point, and this is good because it's just to us two in the studio
right now.
But most people follow you. Most people follow you on Instagram. You would say,
or is it Twitter? I think my Instagram. Definitely.
Instagram, right?
People not fucking with my Twitter, man.
I mean, but which one would you prefer out of the two anyway? Would you prefer IG? Right.
That's kind of like chicken and egg.
Yeah.
I would prefer Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm a Twitter fan, people don't fuck with Twitter.
Yeah.
So then, therefore, I just go to IG.
Right.
It's crazy because people be posting tweets on IG.
I think it's like niggas are tired of switching between different windows and shit. So, like, if I see a listing up, like, oh, like, yo, check link in bio for me to buy some of your shit. Like, I'm most likely not going to do that.
I'm not going to do that shit.
But the closer and closer, like, it makes it easier for me to, like, not click as much and not have to do as much work. I think that plus the fact that Instagram, most people's following is on Instagram anyway. So, like, all these other websites to sell your shit, if you want to be an entrepreneur who sells online, it's you got to market on one platform and then, like, hope that niggas jump over to another platform.
Right.
So I'm just thinking, like, having everything on Instagram where you can access and pay out and check out could be some crazy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, then it's not, you know, that's influencer for real, because then you really get to see, like, who's
but
buying
what I'm
what,
saying
off
is,
of what page.
What I'm asking is, let's say I know an influencer named Brent, right?
Okay.
And Brent sells dashikis.
Yeah.
Right? Am I more likely to buy a dashiki from Brent or from dashiki.com?
I mean, it depends on who you are, man. Like, maybe Brent has the flexibility to sell online, but also do the pop up.
Maybe
know what I'm saying? Like, it's more of a relationship. Maybe pricing might be beat out by dashiki.com, but at least if you buy through Brent, you want to be more original, right?
Right. And so that now I'm thinking about our field, right? I'm thinking about the event field and the production field. How is this affected? How is digital minimalism, the removing of likes, the slow declination of influencers, how does that affect us?
I think if you get rid of, like, the our perception of like counts and stuff like that, I think one positive thing could be, you know, if I like something and I buy it from that, or if I start following that page, it's because I genuinely like it, not because I'm trying to keep up with something. Or if I sometimes, like, if I see something online with a lot of likes that looks dope, maybe I don't want to buy it anymore because I feel like so many other people
already
like that's like a, you know, that's nothing special about acquiring that shirt or that item or whatever these days. So I like, you know, I'm the opposite. I like to buy something that's a little different. You know, I don't know. I just have a different way of my purchasing decisions. So I think getting rid of the outward likes and shit is going to even the playing field.
I can say personally in, like, the events field, I don't think there's any correlation between the number of likes my flyer gets and the number of people who show up to my
event. That's complete. Yes. There's no correlation.
Like, there's no correlation. Like, I've had great flyers where 12 people come to the event, and I've had shitty flyers where I've sold the joint out with 300 people.
Right.
Just kind of like, you know, it doesn't seem to be a very correlated situation. So
I think there's a way to correlate it, though. That's what I'm saying. There's a way to bridge the gap instead of saying, like, let's just completely decouple. You know what I'm saying?
I never liked how Twitter added the like button
instead of the
always
favorite.
Like, it's either I don't even like the favorite button. It's so, either retweet or no.
Or comment.
Reply. Or comment. Yeah. Retweet. Or reply. Yeah. Or have a response. It wasn't like, I like this. I feel like that's punk ass engagement right there. I feel like I need legit. If Instagram to the ooh man,
some niggas don't deserve retweets though.
Right, exactly.
But I like that.
So then it turns back into the quality of content. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Right. So I would be more apt to put up a flyer on Instagram if the engagement is going to be somebody reposting that flyer, because right. that's what I want. Who gives a damn if you like the flyer or not?
Right.
And that's not what I want. Nigga, I want you to engage. I want you to get other people to come to the joint.
Right.
Interesting.
I think if you, it'd be kind of tight if retweets, you didn't see the count under it, so that didn't really mean anything in numbers. But the more it was retweeted, the more frequently it popped up maybe on other people's shit. Like, and you know, and without the number counts and stuff. So it's just like organically like, yo, I like this. So hopefully somewhere out there, somebody else sees this because I'm approving this. And a like can mean something else as well. I think what Twitter fucked up was when they made the like shit like show up on other people on your timeline. I don't want to see what other niggas like.
I don't
like,
care.
I opt into the retweet shit from the follow. Okay, I get that. Okay. But I want to see what niggas like.
Nobody care.
It blends the two, and it kinda, I get that.
All right, man. Let's get to another song, and I got a tech question for you when we come back.
Uh-oh.
All right?
Yeah, let's do
Lexi,
it.
Lexi, can we pull up the next song by Deacon Izzy? We got a next track. Deacon Izzy is the live version of his hit single, I'm Hungry, live from the Capo Deli at the Speakeasy Situation, produced by your boy. We'll be right back with more Over the Shoulder Podcast.
More live music.
This is track number one. I'm hungry. How many people listen to the EP already? Make some noise. Real shit, if you haven't, check me out. Deacon Izzy on IG. It's on SoundCloud. You can look it up on there too. But listen. Seems like yesterday was a year ago. So tickets in this game can make me feel like I can't go no more with college degree. Get a job and I get comfortable, but school wasn't free. I pay so much it should be criminal, but I digress. From living check to check, never getting rest. Now I grab the tech, asking God to bless and forgive what's next. Running up in the bank, pointing the strap at the teller's neck. Beep, beep, 6 in the morning as I wake up. That dream was crazy as fuck, robbing niggas ain't in my makeup. This corner 9 to 5, never gonna get my bank up. So before I get this pay, I gotta blaze the dank up. Now I'm lifted, glad I'm gifted, so I thank up to the Almighty, gave me breath. I watch the rake up as I crank up the whip to go to work. I'm ready to quit. I remember, dog, I'm hungry as shit. I'm hungry, sitting on the edge of the bed. I'm hungry, puffing weed, smoking my head. I'm hungry, my enemies, we getting this bread. I'm hungry, me and my niggas, we gon' always be fed. I'm hungry, sitting on the edge of the bed. I'm hungry, puffing weed, smoking my head. I'm hungry, my enemies, we getting this bread. I'm hungry, me and my niggas, listen. I'm just your average Joe, everyday mo. Type to never ever call a woman a hoe. I need a girl on my team, like the finer things. I'm talking about me, she loves some Izzy. Type of girl that can get on my level. She take me higher like my name was Treble. Take her out, she ain't expensive at all. Dollar millionaire, best believe we ball. And when I cash out for real, she show me gratitude. If I'm beefing with somebody, believe she mad at dude. Ready to blast the llama, bring a drama. And I still can take her home to my mama. I'm the pen to her pad, she the words to my mic. Like Stevie Wonder, we twist our love too tight. If you ain't heard it, get like Kobe today. Turn around, step back and keep paying the way. Cause I'm hungry, sitting on the edge of the bed. I'm hungry, puffing weed, smoking my head. I'm hungry, my enemies, I'm getting this bread. I'm hungry, me and my niggas, we gon' always be fed. I'm hungry, sitting on the edge of the bed. I'm hungry, puffing weed, smoking my head. I'm hungry, my enemies, we getting this bread. I'm hungry, me and my niggas, we gon' always be fed. How many of y'all hungry out there? Wrong answer, wrong answer. How many of y'all hungry out there? If you hungry, you gotta make sure you doing what you gotta do. You see, they call me the deacon cause I always got a message. Now I might make your body groove, but I want you to think too. Now if you ain't doing what you gotta do, make sure you handle that shit once this song over. Now also,
You can't run away from your responsibility. You understand? You can't. Can't keep running away. Can't keep running away. Can't keep running away. Can't keep running away. You can't keep running away. Can't keep running away. Sing that shit.
Can't keep running away. That's I'm Hungry, the live version by Deacon Izzy. Make sure y'all follow him on all social media platforms at Deacon Izzy, DeaconIzzy. Deacon Izzy. He is not a reverend, but he would definitely minister the funk to you in that ass.
Definitely. Definitely so great episode of music for sure, man. From both artists.
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh, yeah.
All the live joints, you know, produced by your boy BMO Brown.
Facts.
Got a tech question for you though. So I don't know if you saw this in the tech news, but Rap Genius, which is a website that catalogs the lyrics of rappers, it's often verified by the rappers themselves. They have accused Google of stealing or scraping their lyrics as the automatic response when you Google a song. So you know you go into Google. Usually you can go into Google, you search something, and then an automatic response will come up, right? And that's usually a sponsored result. What Rap Genius has found is that Google is stripping the lyrics directly from Rap Genius to put onto that little auto response. And I find that the way that they found out to be very interesting. So what Rap Genius did to try to catch Google red-handed was they used a series of colons and periods and random points of certain songs to act as Morse code. Mm-hmm. When they then searched those songs on Google, they could see that the same punctuation was used. Mm-hmm. And then the Morse code, funny enough, ended up reading red-handed. Mm-hmm. So I'm asking you, Matt, as a tech man, how is this possible? Is Google stealing?
I mean, Google is all about search. That's how they started. So, that's true. Yes. I mean, the answer is yes. They're scraping the content directly off the page and just putting it, you know, accessible right there as soon as you type in that artist's name. Now, RapGenius or Genius.com doesn't get that click anymore. That affects ad money, revenue, sure. So on and so forth, right? Yeah. So, yeah, it is. But, I mean, it's like it's kind of weird to say because it's like Genius wouldn't exist or be able to thrive without Google.
That's true. So what would be, if you were running Genius, what would you do?
I don't know. I try to do some type of integration. Here's the thing. Like Genius, a couple years ago, they used to really be more of a tech company.
Really?
They had a stronger, there's actually an article from like 2017 where they laid off like a quarter of their staff, which was mostly engineers.
Really?
In favor of producing more original video content. Right. So, the lyrics and actually transcribing the lyrics doesn't even seem like a top priority for Genius in the first place, which kind of weakened them. Also, once they got rid of their engineering staff, that was probably on top of these things more.
Interesting.
Right? And now you're doing video content, which you're publishing primarily on what? On YouTube.
On YouTube, which
is owned by Google. And people, when they find your lyrics on Genius, where do they go? You know, they probably just find you on a Google search. I don't go to genius.com.
Is Genius black owned?
I don't think so.
Interesting.
I don't know. They're not. There's a thing right there for this episode too. So I don't know, man. I think it sucks. Yeah. You got your shit stolen.
Yeah.
But it's kind of what happens when you are in a position where you know you're beholden to a platform as robust as Google and only that.
Sure.
Right. I might be bullshit. Maybe I'm wrong, but you know, from what I see, you know, this is what happens. And how can you fight it off if you've gotten rid of your engineers in the first place?
Man, I didn't know that part. That. I didn't know that part. I didn't know they had basically doubled down on entertainment.
I think they were working on like algorithms and shit. It was like a different, you know, and maybe just Genius didn't pop off like that. So they had to make the adjustments for what they felt was best at the time. But
I mean, the video's not really hitting like that, though. Huh? The video's really not hitting like that, though.
Right.
I mean, it's cool to have, like, verified.
Yeah, verified is okay.
Verified is cool, but, like, you know what I'm saying?
I'm tired of that shit, too, though, because nobody got bars, for real, for real. Like, they got up on there. Like, and so if you don't got bars, why the fuck do I want to hear the story behind them?
Oh, man, I don't think you think Genius took that into account, that that bars would take a dive in 2018, 2019?
I mean, I think the people who they bring up there, I mean, they just, once again, you become beholden to the views and the clicks. Man, you start to lose. You start to get too high up off the ground, and that authenticity. Sometimes now you got Jid and some of those people, but those are like undeniable people that you got to have up there,
right?
You know what I mean, I just wish it was a little bit more balanced. You know, that's a whole nother conversation for a whole nother day.
It is how like your arrogance can basically destroy your creativity,
right?
That's kind of crazy. That's kind of crazy, man. But look, man, we coming to the end of another wonderful Over the Shoulder podcast. I like to do your segment last. Why don't you go ahead and kick it off for us, man?
Word, yeah. So, tools of the trade, man.
Of course.
So, I would say tool of the trade, and this is Matt. Follow me on Twitter at Backpack Matt. Follow me on Instagram at Mr. Backpack. That's MISTER Backpack. I say the tool of the trade is the random text.
The random text.
And this is what I mean by that. Sometimes you got to create a project, and we got Wavy in the room for this last segment. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if the mic is on, but we got Still Wavy, and maybe
Still Wavy's in the building.
But the random text, man, and a lot of the business that we do behind the scenes and try and make creative projects, like sometimes, you know, conversations that were, you know, picking up in terms of a collaboration or idea fall to the wayside because of life and circumstances.
Right.
So when that person pops up in your mind as, yo, I need to reach out to so-and-so, da-da-da-da. Go ahead, send that random text, man.
That's true.
To whoever it is. And you never know. Maybe y'all might be able to link up today. Maybe y'all can schedule something. Maybe, you know, like there's a reinvigoration of energy. Had you not, you know, sent out that random text, that, you know, could have been gone to waste. So
that's true.
All the creators out there who are thinking, yo, I really want to start this thing. And the person who I talked to before who really fucked with it, I never really followed up. You know, they're not tripping off of that. Send that random text.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
They show love, you know what I mean?
That's true, man.
Get credit where credit's due. When somebody do dope on a dope-ass project, be like, damn, bro. You know what I mean? I see what you're doing. Keep it moving.
Yep.
Yeah, like a good congratulation. Like the spirit of appreciation.
Appreciation.
Yeah. Make it feel good about the shit. You know what I mean? Especially the love. You know what I'm saying? You never really know, like, especially love from, like, a random-ass person that you really know. You know that type of feeling? Like, when somebody else that you don't really know, like, don't know at all, to just see what you're doing, it's like, damn, that's really dope. Rather than somebody that you do know.
Right.
And you know what I mean? Like, they see you watching, but don't show love as if, like, somebody random that really appreciate what you're doing.
Right.
I got you.
Yeah.
You got a tool of the trade that you want to share with us this week?
Tool of the trade. This segment, man, this is a deep segment y'all be on.
Tell me this, since we got to wrap up. I know you got some collaborations coming out very soon.
Yeah,
right?
Go ahead, drop that.
Yeah, man, I'm doing this collaboration with Ugly. I mean, his brand out of China. Shout out to Alex Shafiro, you feel me? They got a movement going on.
Okay.
Where it's like, you know what I mean, it's a conversation brand, basically trying to shake up the perception of what beauty is and to the average eye, you know what I'm saying? Because everybody's beautiful in their own way. You know what I mean? Everybody has their own flaws. Everybody can be ugly in their own way, but regardless of what it is, embrace that shit because you're beautiful regardless of whatever the fuck anybody think about you, you feel me?
True. So,
wow.
It's really tell them what they can find.
That's a word. That's a word.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Shout out. I'm talking Still Wavy on IG, STELWAVY. Yeah, popped out with a little kitten, man, off the random.
It's a whole kitten in the studio.
It's a whole motherfucking kitten on the cooling, bro. It's a little nigga high shit, bro.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I saved this little nigga about a week ago, bro. I was on the way from on some random ass shit. Coming back from the grocery store and shit.
That's
this
a whole other story.
That's a whole other story, bro.
We got to go, y'all. Yeah. We want to thank y'all for listening to Over the Shoulder podcast. Make sure y'all follow us on all social media platforms at OTS.pod or OTS Pod. And we'll be back next week with another episode. We'll see y'all later.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter at FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook at Full Service Radio. Thanks for listening.